All right. Y'all need to make a little room. You need to scoot in a little bit. Make room for the people. Yeah, we got a lot of folks are sick this week. Jeanette's usually here. She's sick. Josh is sick. Who else? And your parents are in Houston, going to Houston. Yeah. Chris is at work. Let's see. Alan or Denise is sick. Yeah. All right. Proverbs chapter 3. Y'all, let's see. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 30. I thought this was kind of cool. There's a phrase in this verse that shows up. The phrase is without a cause. And there are several things that happen that the Lord describes happening without a cause. And without a cause. And we'll read the verse and make a few comments on this. I guess if you wanted to title this, it's don't instigate trouble. Don't start stuff. What does that guy say? Don't start none, there won't be none. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 30. It says, strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. So that verse seems to stand alone in the Proverbs here. It seems like it does, because the rest of the chapter seems to talk about little different things here. But this is about instigation. Don't strive, he says. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. So let's pray. And it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. A lot of the Proverbs are just so straightforward. It's just, it's pretty simple. But amazing how these little instructions get ignored. But let's pray, and then we'll talk about this instigation and contentious spirit. Just want to fight. I just want to stir stuff up. But let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. I thank you for everybody that's here, and for those that are sick, there are a few. I know Jeanette and Josh and Denise, and then those that are traveling. I know Granny and Papa are traveling, and then I pray for Jeff's surgery, that give the doctors wisdom. I pray it goes well. I pray he gets through it without any complications, and then can come home next week. And I pray it would address what needs to be addressed there. And I thank you again for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I do pray that you would help us get something out of this this verse this evening. A real simple, straightforward instruction that does get neglected and ignored. Just from our emotions, we sometimes people want to stir stuff up. But pray you'd help us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Strive not. What does it mean? We'll do some participation here. What does it mean to strive? To strive. If you're going to strive. What did you say, Shirley? Create strife. Yeah. Yeah. What else y'all got? Anything else? Strive. It's like to fight, to contend, you know, to create drama. No, well, yeah, there's a positive. You can strive to do well. You can contend, you know, that's like earnestly contend for the faith. But strife, when you're going to start, or something, the negative side of that is what we're talking about in this verse. Strive not. That's like to contend with somebody in a negative way, to create trouble. And you don't. Yeah, yeah, there would be. Right, your intention is to stir something up. You're trying to create trouble, whether because of. Well, later on in the Proverbs, he'll say, without strife, I think, with pride cometh contention. Like that's what you were stirred up by. So then out of that pride, you created trouble that didn't need to be created. And so that's to strive, to contend, to contest, to struggle in opposition. It can be as little as arguing, just wanting to argue, just being argumentative, just because you want to be right, maybe, or you want to make someone else wrong. So it can be as little as arguing, or it can be as dramatic as legal action, where you just create trouble legally. And that can be the other, you know, both ends of the spectrum, just argumentative or, you know, litigation. So it has a multitude of applications there, varying degrees. And then he adds this little phrase, which is great: strive not with a man without cause. Without cause. Now, what does that mean, without cause? What do you think that means? Unreasonable, yeah. Like there's not a reason for this. You just started something for no reason. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. No reason for it, which brings up an interesting and maybe a little interesting thought there. Sometimes I think the idea is with some folks, when we try to comfort ourselves with that idea that everything happens for a reason, and then you just read a verse like this, and it's like some things don't even happen for a reason. Some things are just created out of air. They're just like there's not even a purpose for this. And so, strive not with a man without cause. So sometimes things just have no reason. And if we're not careful, just a side note, if we're not careful, you think that God engineers all the bad stuff in order to bring about some good outcome, and that's not true. Yes, the Lord can bring about evil, things like that, but the idea that God engineers evil in order to create something good, the better view of God is that the devil, the world, all of that creates evil and bad stuff, and then God can sometimes, and God can, work those things out to good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8. So he comes in, and he's not the architect of the evil, but he is the one that can bring about something good from something evil. So that's probably a clearer view of God. In fact, in Romans chapter 3, that idea comes forth. Paul says it this way. I'll just read it to you. Paul says, "For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner?" So if through my evil God's goodness is magnified, then why is my evil considered evil? And that's what Paul's saying. Why would it be considered evil? Because I am bringing forth goodness and making God look good. And Paul says that's a terrible argument. So he goes on to say, "And not rather, as we be slanderous reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come." That's what they were saying of Paul, that he was doing evil, or that his philosophy on ministry sometimes was, "I'll create evil so that good may come," or he's stirring stuff up. And Paul says, no, that's a terrible idea. That's not right. That's not a right view of God. It's not a right view of ministry. It's not a right view of anything. And so he says, those people are slandering us, they're slandering God, and he says their damnation is just. The ones who say God creates evil so that he can make something good, that's not true. That's not true. So that's in Romans chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, and that's sort of the argument that some folks make, that God engineers wickedness so that his grace can be magnified, and Paul deals with that. He says that's not true. That's not what God does. The world manufactures wickedness, and God can turn bad circumstances into something good and something profitable, but he's not the architect of wickedness and things like that. So don't blame him for that stuff. So that all said, that all kind of is under the umbrella of this without a cause idea. But the verse is very simple in Proverbs. Back to Proverbs here. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Here's the New Testament version of this. Look in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. In Romans 12, 18, you got the New Testament version of this. And we'll turn to a couple places here tonight. Give you a couple cross-references. Romans 12, 18. Here's the New Testament version. It's the same thought. Really, it may go a little bit further here that somebody's already done wrong to you. But Paul says it this way, Romans 12, 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I like how he puts a few conditions on it, as much as possible. Sometimes it's not possible. It's just not a real reality there. But as much as possible, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And so don't stir stuff up. Don't create or perpetuate drama that doesn't need to be perpetuated. But the idea is, I think. So I'm going to give you three examples of this in the Bible. The first one is legal, where people are taken to court for frivolous things on a regular basis. And this may not apply to any of us here, but I found it interesting that in God's law for Israel, he has an instruction and a commandment dealing with legal matters that are frivolous, that are just ridiculous. And so sometimes people want to just hurt other people, and so they use the law to do it. And if you know anything about the business world at this point, lawyers run corporations. Lawyers, that's how education's run. That's how businesses are run. It everything goes through lawyers. And so that system can be weaponized against people and used against people. And I want to show you that the Lord knew that, and he knew people would just create strife using a legal system and try to hurt other people just because maybe they didn't like them. They just didn't like them. So check this. This is neat. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 19. So this is a legal matter. Deuteronomy 19. Here's an application of Proverbs in a court, where somebody wants to hurt somebody else through the court system, and maybe make them pay a bunch of money, maybe put them in jail, just because they don't like them. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 16 says, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong. So you got the plaintiff and the defendant. Here's the plaintiff, here's the complaint. And he's a liar, though. He's just bringing this up, and he just wants to hurt somebody. He wants to use the court to hurt somebody. Then both the men, verse 17, between whom the controversy is, shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. Do you understand what was said there? So, if you bring up a lawsuit just to hurt somebody, in Israel, God commanded that if you lose that lawsuit, then whatever damages you were seeking, you have to pay to the person you brought to court. So, if I want to sue... I'll use an example y'all know, and it was probably, there's some reality to it, but say I want to sue McDonald's for $1 million. You know, I want to sue McDonald's for $1 million because of hot coffee. And yes, there was probably some actual damage done to the lady that this happened to, but we'll just use it as an example. But if I want to sue for $1 million and my lawsuit is proven false, then I pay $1 million to the person I was suing. Now, what do you think that'll do with the court system? It'll probably clear out a bunch of just frivolous nonsense that people are bringing other people to court over. That somebody's, if somebody's just trying to use the court to bully somebody else, to hurt somebody else, that law right there will pretty much put an end to that. Because if your lawsuit is proven frivolous, or you're just a liar, you're just drumming this stuff up, then what's determined is you pay whatever damages you were seeking. And that even goes to, watch how far that goes, verse 20. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. Thine eyes shall not pity, but life, watch this, life shall go for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Wow. So if you are seeking those kind of damages, and it's found out that you're a liar in court, just that would mean if you're going to show up in court, you better have all your ducks in a row, and you better have a case if you're an Israelite, because we're not putting up with this frivolous stuff. God's not going to put up with it. He's not going to put up with people using the court system to bully other people or to hurt other people or to cause strife. How should I put it? To create strife without a cause. There's no reason for it. You may not like him, but God doesn't see that as a reason. That's not a reason to hurt somebody because you don't like them. All right, so there's a legal matter that addresses somebody who has brought a case without a cause to court, and the Lord put a law in place to say, this is how you deal with it. You just make the guy pay what he was seeking, and that'll put an end to some of that stuff. Here's another one. This one is just argumentation, because it can be, as like I said, as dramatic as a lawsuit where you bring someone to court, or it can be as petty as, I just have an argumentative spirit. I just want to stir stuff up. Maybe I like to be right. Maybe that's part of my righteousness, where I feel like if I can put you in your place, then that makes me feel better about me. And so look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Here's the this is a less I guess a less offensive but yet offensive application of this idea of people instigating trouble, or they just stir stuff up. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Y'all know this study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's keep reading. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So if you want to argue, if you're an argumentative person and you just want to stir up arguments and drama for no reason, Paul says, look, if you participate in that stuff, let's say you win the argument, it doesn't even matter because you're just creating ungodliness. It doesn't profit anybody. It's interesting when people have debates. I guess sometimes they can be maybe useful. I don't know. I know Paul went in and he actually contended with folks and he really tried to present an argument to educators and people like that when he'd go into the synagogues and the schools and things like that. And so he would try to present something, but sometimes he set up debates. Everybody goes home believing their guy won, or everybody, no one changes sides. I've never heard of anyone changing sides because of a debate. I've never heard of anyone saying, you know what, that guy made a great point. I'm gonna latch on to his ideas. Now everybody goes home and sometimes they're mad with their guy or everybody thinks their guy won. And so it just like Paul says, look, this stuff just it goes on to ungodliness and it's arguments and things like that. And social media is great for it. You know, you can just comments after comments. It's funny because somebody will post some of the pastors, they'll post tracts or things like that, which that's good, and just verses or things like that. And then there'll be a comment, and then you get about four comments down. It's not even about the subject anymore. Now they are just arguing about some stupid thing. And it's just like, this is such a waste of time. So useless. But that's the idea. It's just vain babbling. It's profane and vain babbling. So there's argumentation. It's strife without a cause. It's just argumentation. It's litigation, like you saw in Deuteronomy. But all that is strife without a cause. Someone wants to stir something up for no reason. At least not a reason God considers a reason. It may be something you consider a reason because you don't like the person, because it builds your pride to win an argument or whatever it is, but that's not a reason. That's just your imagination, that's your emotions. God doesn't consider that a reason. So legal contentions, argumentations, don't instigate trouble. Don't instigate trouble. And I'm gonna conclude with this. This is a characteristic of the devil. He just stirs stuff up just because he can stir stuff up. In fact, look over in Job chapter 2. This spirit of contentiousness, I just crave the drama, I just crave the fight. That's indicative of a devilish spirit. Job chapter 2, verse 3. Remember that whole without a cause thing? Remember that? That was part of Proverbs. Strive not with a man without cause if he's done thee no harm. Without a cause. Watch this. Job chapter 2 and verse 3. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him? How? Without a cause. I have no reason to hurt Job. There's no reason that I should hurt Job. But that's the devil. That's his, the trouble that we live in this world started because the devil started something without a cause. There was no reason to bring sin into the world. But that's what he does. He's just an instigator. He just stirs up the strife. He loves the trouble, I guess. He loves destroying things. He loves hurting people. So it's indicative of, when you get down to it, it's indicative of a devilish spirit. When you want to stir that stuff up, you want to start things, you want to instigate trouble. That's the devil. I was thinking about, and we live under a curse, in a cursed world, live in sin, that there are entire, I think about the news media industry. That whole industry is what passes for journalism these days is creating trouble without a cause. Literally creating drama, hurting people, putting people on the defensive, and just creating strife for no reason. At least God would say there's no reason for this. They would say, well, there's a dollar bill at the end of it, which there is, but that's not a reason. They just create strife and stir controversy. And I guess if they're young idealists, maybe it's for the purpose of directing policy in the government. But ultimately, it boils down to money, which is not a reason. That's not a reason. It's just indicative of the devil, of the spirit of the devil, just contentious and proud I don't know how else you would describe it with that, but one more thing along with this devilish spirit thing, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, but to say that something is without a cause doesn't mean the person doing it doesn't have a reason for doing it. They may have their own reason. You know, the news media makes money creating drama. That would be their reason, is advertising money and clicks and watches and eyes, and they want your attention. And so that generates ad revenue. And so that would be a reason, but the reason God wouldn't call that a reason, put it that way. He wouldn't call that a reason. When Jesus Christ was about to be crucified, one of the things he said about the religious leaders, I'll just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. In John 15, he said, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass," pay attention now, "but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." They had a reason to crucify Jesus, but God said, you didn't have, your reason didn't rise to the level of a cause. There was nothing here that rose to the level to justify what you're doing. So you can make a little distinction there. People have reasons for doing what they do, but that's to be distinguished from a justification. It's not justified. The Jews certainly had their own reason for wanting Jesus dead, but according to the Spirit of God, their reason wasn't a reason, because what they did was without a cause. And Jesus said that. They hated me without a cause. Just of note, Several things are mentioned in the Bible that don't have a cause. The Bible talks about oppression without a cause, talks about a hatred without a cause, it talks about anger without a cause. So there's a lot of things that show up that really have no justification according to God. And so, interestingly enough, that phrase without a cause, I'll just mention it, but that phrase without a cause, in Matthew chapter 5, I'll read it to you, but in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says this, Jesus said it this way. He said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." And I'll just stop there because this is the point. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. That without a cause is very important. Because Jesus was angry on a few occasions with people. I remember one time he turned over some tables in the temple and said, you people have made my father's house a den of thieves. And so he was angry. But he wasn't angry without a cause. That's the distinction. And what's interesting is some of the, I didn't make a list, but most of the new Bibles in after 1900 take out without a cause. So they just say, "I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother is in danger of judgment." Well, that's not true. Anger is not a bad thing when it's in its proper place. But when it's out of place without a cause, then it's bad. And it's funny that they would take something like that out, that being a characteristic of the devil himself, that he does things without a cause. He just provokes. And so that clause is taken out, that condition is taken out, without a cause. And that's a very important condition. It's a very important condition. So, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, that's the problem. Not anger itself. Anger without a cause is a problem. So that's just some interesting facts there. But the proverb is straightforward. Don't instigate trouble. That's a characteristic of the devil. He just starts trouble and creates drama, and it's kind of amazing how addicted to drama we can be. We just love the strife, whether we